Welcome to Season 3 of Swiss Impact with Banerjee. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben.
The topic of Season 3 is Impact Investing, the New Normal. Do you also want to do something meaningful for our planet and people, or invest with impact?
Then our amazing and powerful guests who are business owners, heads of financial institutions, thought leaders, political leaders, policymakers, investors, and experts.
Greetings, my name is Ash Bachori, and I'm the senior mentor of the POP, or Protect Our Planet movement, and also a member of the board and secretary treasurer of the World Sustainable Development Forum. Our primary goal is to mobilize the 1.8 billion youth of the world to urgently address the issue of climate change and take action to protect our planet.
This will inspire you to get engaged.
And in this season, we will challenge them even more to take actions towards sustainable development goals, to enable paradigm shift in the financial sector and way of doing business.
Watch and learn how can we, as humans, transform into eco-financial system which would serve all people and the environment.
We aim for impact investment to become available to anyone, become truly mainstream.
See you every Friday at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Act for your future.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone, and to our viewers from Far East, good night.
Welcome back to week 3 of season 3 to our show about impact investment. The theme of the season is Impact Investing, the New Normal.
So just wanted to let you know that if you like this show, then please find us on YouTube and subscribe to our show. It's just youtube.com/SwissImpact. And then you can select and watch all our previous shows.
Absolutely. And what we are going to learn today, or takeaways, it's mainly about how to create an international business which is very impactful and profitable at the same time, and how to get it financed. So Ben, before we start, let's continue our tradition. What's your story? What is up in the world news today?
So, German election is coming soon, and you can see the impact of it everywhere. For example, this week, that is from 7 to 12 September, we are having the IAA 2021 car exhibition taking place in Munich. Guess what? Chancellor Angela Merkel said that cars are not only the part of the climate problem, but even it can become a part of the solution.
Which is great.
Question is, how much should people believe her or trust her? Of course, you see that the German car industry is in rapid transformation. All of them are turning fast to electric cars, and thanks to the Dieselgate scandal.
But what is the Dieselgate for those who maybe missed this scandal?
So this is a short reminder, a historical reminder to our viewers who don't know. This happened basically is that in September 2015, the United States EPA, that is the Environmental Protection Agency, issued a violation of the Clean Air Act to the German car maker Volkswagen. The agency found out that Volkswagen had been intentionally programming their TDI diesel engines to reduce their nitrogen oxide emission artificially during the laboratory testing.
It's so cool. You know, people get inventive when it's about profit.
Exactly. So that it fulfilled the US standards. But when those cars were on the road, they were producing or emitting 40 times more in the real world. And apparently they did it to 11 million cars from the year 2009 to 2015.
Yeah, and it's really crazy. I mean, I was also long time ago driving Volkswagen. Actually, it's a little Beetle, but not anymore.
So just going back to my story, in my opinion, the fact remains that under the protection of Merkel, the CEOs of the German auto car industries also kept on blocking the electrification of automobiles. Mm-hmm. I remember when Toyota came with this hybrid technology, they were ridiculed. Even was mentioned that the technology is expensive, complicated, etc., while the diesel motor is efficienter, cheaper, and even getting better. To tell the truth, I remember one of my family members who is teaching at one of the Technical University of Netherlands even believed this fairy tale. Till what happened is, unfortunately for them, the Dieselgate, which broke this fantasy, this broke this fairy tale, and but fast forward, now all these companies are creating e-cars. So So that's it.
So is this is all from your side today?
No, I just want to say, before I finish, I just want to say, for many climate activists who still find that the inactions of German car industry is too slow, but luckily with the waning stars of Merkel and the green parties in Germany are getting stronger and stronger, at least that's what I'm reading in the newspapers, I think the German auto industry will speed up their transformation. Because, number one, they're scared of tougher regulations which will be implemented. And number two, they will have less support from the German government.
You seem to be very happy that someone maybe new is coming in German government.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I'm counting on the green becoming stronger and stronger. So, but before we finish, Svetlana, a couple of weeks back, I was at a university students meeting, and it turns out that the students have this kind of idea that impact investment is only for high and rich and mighty. And it's a very elitist thing. Please explain whether it is true or not.
Well, it's like, it's not, there is no straight answer to that, actually. And what is true nowadays, that indeed, if you want to invest in impact investing, the most of financial products are still for wealthy people, right? Starting maybe from $250,000, you can invest, especially in private equity, right? But however, if you want, you can find also investment in impact investing starting from $100 already, right? So it's really not only for wealthy people on this planet, which is a good news. And we are aiming also to help mainstreaming impact investment. So anyone could go to any bank and say, I want to invest for SDG 1 or 13 climate change, whatever. And here are my $100, please invest it meaningfully, right? So that's what we aim for. Yeah, so it's not only for rich people, again, and for those who are maybe mixing it up with sustainable investment, impact investment is also not equal to that. So sustainable investment is, they are mainly also listed stocks which apply environmental social governance criteria, right? And they are still driven by profit. Profit is underlying. Compared to impact investment, which have an underlying mission, right? Also the company, the founder, which is coming today, they have a very strong mission from where everything starts. And then they build on that and become financially self-sustainable. But they are solving a huge problem in our world for empowering women. So, and with this, I don't want to make our guest waiting any longer. Jaideep Mandal, the founder of Akar Innovation, please join us today. Welcome. Hello. Welcome.
Hi, Jaideep.
Hello, how are you guys doing? Thanks for inviting me in the show.
You're most welcome. So, will you introduce Jaideep to our guests?
Absolutely. So, Jaideep, for those who don't know you yet and your amazing impact journey, I'd like to say a few words. So, you are leading a figure in the menstrual hygiene and health sector globally, as you have innovated and created the first 100% compostable sanitary napkin, which is certified by the highest lab of the government of India. You also feature in the select group of PMO and NITI Aayog's as a champion of change. Whatever this organization is, you are the champion of change. And you are also, you have won many awards, and among those are such awards from Germany as Global Bioplastic Award or Bio-Based Materials of the Year in 2019, and for your compostable Anandi pads, which you have invented. And those awards are actually not just some awards, you know, they are treated as Oscars awards of bio industry. So congratulations, first of all, on these achievements to you. Well done. So great to hear that. And I also wanted to mention that your work is acclaimed by several governments, World Bank, United Nations, also many NGOs like USAID and UKAID, like Ajay Khan Foundation or President of India, Miss World organization and Miss India organization for amazing innovation and entrepreneurship in the menstrual hygiene sector. So I hope I didn't say too much.
I'm very curious how he got all these awards. But Jaideep, can you tell a little bit more about your products of your company and maybe even show us, if possible, some of samples?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for the introductions. It was too late. They were covered so many things. So we as an organization, we started in 2010, but registered in 11. We work as a solution provider in the menstrual hygiene sector. We work in two ways, like in hardware and software. So we have two organizations. Like hardware is like Akar Innovation Private Limited, which is the private for-profit organizations. There we focus on the machinery to make sanitary pads, the raw materials to make sanitary pads. We have done several research on that. And also the finished products. As of now, it is Anandi pads, which is the first compostable certified pad in India and also elsewhere. On the other side, Akar Social Venture, it's like an NGO, Section 8 company in India. It works on the education awareness around menstrual hygiene. We have created a behavioral change and communication program, which focuses on menstrual hygiene, but then covers like things like sexual education, maternal health, life skills, gender, all of that. And then through that, like we educate women and girls and also men and boys into this high health and hygiene sector, focusing on menstrual hygiene. And we are not that we do not promote our products, but then rather than that, like we just genuinely wanted to educate women and girls that why this is important and why they should look after this. So this is in a nutshell. In terms of products, like so our flagship product is this, which is the Anandi compostable pads. These are now available in Amazon in India for as of the date for about since November. There's a covers which comes. These are individual pads. And what we do, so this is a compostable sanitary pad. And with this premium pad, every box we sell in Amazon, we kind of give one packet actually. So which are these packets to the women and girls in the villages who are in need, free of cost, along with the menstrual hygiene education, because without education, that doesn't make sense. And then like these pads are also made in the village production units, which basically create this and create a sustainable enterprise. They also get livelihood out of these things. Now, while making this product, like as I said, this is first of all certified, but then we look after the environment angle and the health angle in a very minute manner. So example, like in fact, this bag itself, this is compostable bioplastic. So disposal bag, it's compostable. The entire packaging, this is also a paper bag. There is no plastic touch in it, although it looks fabulous, but then still there is no plastic in it. And when we also cover this, we cover it in a 3-ply box, which is also plastic free. We use plastic free tapes also to cover this. So, one of the unique features of our product is that like most of you have heard about like baby diapers, and baby diapers comes with the baby rashes, sorry, the skin rashes. So which people think like it's just tag along with that. But then like, so what we have come up with the first time maybe in the world as a commercial product is a solution. So this rashes comes because of the super absorbent, which is there inside diapers, and same super absorbent is also there in sanitary pads. These are chemical. This is like sodium polyacrylate, which is harmful for the human body, for the environment. These are not compostable or biodegradable. So what we have introduced is a natural super absorbent coming from cellulose base. And that works perfectly fine as an absorbent, although it is compostable and then environment friendly as well as like health friendly to the skin. So this is with that, we introduce that in sanitary pads, and very soon we're going to come up with the diapers. So that eliminates the health risk of women and girls, and also like babies when they will wear our diapers, which is a big advantage. Apart from that, as
we
I
also
said,
have
like
diapers.
We're coming up very soon. We've done prototyping now. So like as on date, it is this thing. But the technology, what we have created, it is it can be extended to diapers and many other hygiene products. And recently, we got the patent also of this technology from the government of India. So yes, that will help us also to take this to large scale.
And Jaideep, it was like a crash course on how sanitary napkins are produced. Amazing. But another question, in which countries you can buy the sanitary pads, the Ananda sanitary pads on Amazon? Is it only in India at the moment, or in Europe also possible? So which countries are currently available for this?
No, as on date, Amazon, we are selling in India and also in Flipkart, which is another similar platform like, and then also from our own website. But then Currently, international consumers can buy it from our website, which is anandilive.com. And then very soon, we are going to launch it in Amazon globally. We are working on that. And then we had done some tie-ups in US, which hopefully by end of this year, we should be present in US market also with a partner. Similarly, another similar tie-ups is having going on in Australia and few European countries, so which is ongoing. But otherwise, we have this mini factory models. We are working in 10 countries across the world, which includes Nepal and down north of India, and about 8 African countries like Kenya, South Africa, Tanzania, then Ghana, Cameroon. Very soon we're going to be there in India also.
And Johnny, why a car is an impactful business? Because not everyone can make the connection. Why it is important, sanitary pads, women empowerment. So what is the purpose of starting the company which you start in this sector? So why sanitary pads? What does it create? What kind of impact?
Yeah, so when I started, it's a long story, so I'll not get into that. But then
Make it short.
Yeah, the story is always interesting.
Yes, so basically, so I was working with Honeybee Network with Professor Anil K. Gupta. He's a professor in Indian Institute of Management, which is like Harvard's of India. He started the Honeybee Network. Through that, I get in touch with the grassroots innovator, who was one of the guy in South India who made a machine. From there, I felt like we can make an enterprise out of it. So I started exploring that initially as an enterprise which can create livelihood. So I have no clue about menstrual hygiene. Even when I look back now, my own family, so my mother have never used sanitary pads, or my like cousin sisters, elders, was I used to see those cloths hanging around, but never really asked them. So when I started first this production unit, small mini unit of this guy making machine, I went to the villages and started talking to the women and girls there. And then the first time I figured out this is a so big a challenge, especially in the villages of India and other countries. And I then got into the depth of it. I spoke to the women, to the doctors, local gynecs, and figured out there's so many diseases are being spread because of this unhygienic practice. I got in there, like initially, like, so, but the machine we were working with that guy did work. So we came up with our own machine. Initially, it was a manual machine. Then we went on to semi-automatic. Now we have automatic machines. Now, on the 2012, I got an opportunity to go to Afghanistan with Aga Khan Foundation to do a service for a month and menstrual hygiene. Yes. So it is now a highlighted country now globally. But then, I went there and I had actually, I can tell you that so the people are fabulous there. They all love Indians. And I had done a workshop there with all women, no men present. And they were very open about talking with me on this topic. But then, like, yeah, so there, Aga Khan Foundation posed me a challenge that, like, yes, you are doing good work, but then what is the solution for disposal of sanitary pads? So I didn't have anything that time. So that intrigued me to work on something green. And when I came back to India, I started working on that, how we can make a sanitary pad green. And after about another 6 months of research, in 2013, we came up with the first compostable pads. So this is how it started off. Like, but then I think in terms of your second part of the question, so it's why it is impactful, why it is, it has multifacets. So in a way, we cover almost 11 out of 17 sustainable development goals of United Nations through our thing. It covers so many things, like starting from like health and hygiene. It talks about like the environment, because we're making compostable pads. We are creating livelihood, so which is again empowering the women up there in the villages. We are also supporting education, because 24% girls in India drops out of the schools during the age when they reach the puberty. So it has a very big impact.
This is one of the most important things, you know. Education is crucial. Yeah.
Yes, so that education is also impacted. And then like the environment and then water, because like a lot of the sanitary pad goes to the water and then create challenges there. So this impact is multifaceted. And then we are upon the various aspects. And then some other parts are also covered by AKA Social Ventures, which is purely educating women and girls about the like the need and impact and the importance of health and hygiene and menstrual hygiene, and why they should follow the hygienic practices, which has multi. And again, this is all we are doing with women. And then like, so there, first of all, we're covering 50% population of the world in a way, because all women have at one point of time, like between, let's say 8 to 11 years of age, they start menstruating. And like, it goes on till 45 to 50 years of age. So we are touching upon 50% population of the world in terms of the impact. Like, so that's larger these days. And then obviously because like the women are involved, so it also involves men. And then so the impacts are, and then when we also reach out to the young girls. So if they are able to educate themselves and go to the school, not miss the school or drop out of the school, then we are empowering the further generations also. So yes, so that's how it is.
And tell us some numbers of your impact, like how many girls you have educated or how many pets did you produce till now? So something cool and big.
Yes, so absolutely. So we had reached out to more than a million consumers throughout this about 10-year journey. We just touched last August, last month, we crossed 10 years, so a decade of our journey. And we crossed more than a million consumers till date in terms of impact. Like we had employed about 700 plus women in the villages, in the production units, which are also owned by them. We reached out to 500,000 plus women and girls through our education programs in India, in Africa, in other countries. We have generated more than 5 million Indian rupees in terms of income generated for the women and women who are working in the production units. So yes, and then done like more than 100,000 workshops in different parts of the country and also in Africa.
How about what's stopping you to make this 1 million to 1 billion?
So we need, like, so the audience were hearing that we need support of all of you, like, to scale it. So now we are done and proven our things in India. And we are now looking for partners to expand our work in other countries. We actually almost every weekly basis receive queries from different parts of the world. But then, like, we obviously need, which is one thing common to everyone for scaling up, is the fund. We are looking for funding right now between like $3 to $5 million to expand our business. And also we want to add on more product. Like I mentioned, we started with sanitary pad, but we also want to come up with diapers, like, which is a big, big challenge. Even like more than sanitary pads, diapers are creating more pollution because sanitary pad is used only for, let's say, 4 or 5 days in a month by women. But and also only by women, let's say, or menstruator, whereas diapers are used by, first of all, babies, it is male or female,
every
and also
single day.
Every single day for a long period of time. So and then 24/7. So it's creating a lot more mess than sanitary pads. And because it is connecting with the elderly and the babies, people and the governments do not talk about that so much. But then it is creating a mess. So we want to introduce that in the commercial market very soon, baby as well as adult diapers, and also add few more other hygiene products in the pipeline. So that's there in the pipeline, but then we need partners to expand the business in terms of like, so that we can reach out to more and more countries and geographies. Mm-hmm. And secondly, like honest, ethical investors who understand our mission, vision, and also the way we want to expand, keeping the social thing in place. So that's how we are commercial business now, but then like we have the social motive in behind, because we started working first in the villages and we want to continue to work there. And we know like they cannot afford pads in many places in India and Africa. So everything we sell in commercial market, there has to be a small portion which is going back to the villages to contributing them.
Wow, this is amazing. I just wanted to know, so how do you measure the impact? Because for example, like every retail product sector, you have to deal with logistics, which, for example, again, indirectly creates carbon CO2 emission. So do you also manage that, or do you also think about that, or do you use a compensation technique?
No, see, like as on date, like what we are doing, so we have done several research work on this sector, let's say in terms of raw materials. So like there is a key material of sanitary pads or even diapers is the wood pulp, which comes primarily from US and Canada. So we had done extensive research and filed patents that we can use indigenous materials like water hyacinth, bagasse, banana fiber, jute, this kind of materials which are available locally. And then these are also there in Africa. So we have running pilots of this in like in Kenya, in Victoria Lake, which is polluting too much of water hyacinth. We have a unit up there using the local hyacinth out of the lake and using it for making sanitary pads. Similarly, in Uganda, we have used banana fiber. In India, we have used bagasse. And then also we in Calcutta, which is eastern part of India, and you know, like jute is something which has been there in Bangladesh and eastern part of India. So we have, we're the first company also to introduce a jute-based sanitary pads along with IIT Kharagpur and then Jute Commission of India, and that has been there. So one way we are trying to localize the raw material sources as much as possible. Now, in terms of the outward logistics, like by selling the pads, what we had done, there's still a lot of work to be done. But then like when we use Amazon, rather than sending things like every box from our central place to everywhere, we send it to their local warehouses. So we have kept 5 local warehouses across India so that we can minimize the logistics expense and also the carbon dioxide emissions and all. But we want to look forward at how we can reduce this further onto this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. I have another question regarding your competition, because you are in a very complicated, competitive and old sector, you know, which is largely dominated by big names or very cheap and unhygienic copies of the pads, right? So do you keep an eye on all aspects of it, and how do you compete with them, you know, from China or some other countries? So how do you compete with them?
And especially the big brands, because you have very, very big brands.
Yes, it is. Worldwide, it is dominated by 2 multinational brands primarily. And then there are several others to follow it, national and small regional brands. So what we have been doing from day one is the innovation. So we have been ahead of the time in terms of doing this research work. So as I said, we are the first company to introduce compostable sanitary pad, which was not existed in the market back in 2013, when this topic about environment and this was not even there. Like it has just started happening last 2-3 years. So on this, at least in our sector, and now multinational is trying to come. So there we had obviously have filed patents, and now it has been granted. So that is one way of looking at it. And also we had, so it is not only the materials, but the entire, I would say the ecosystem which you have created, like compostable materials, some of you who are aware of that, these are very natural materials. So it has to be maintained sophisticatedly, and then it has a self-life issue. So if it's a genuine material, then it would have a self-life between 12 and 15 months, nothing more than that. So for multinational, it's also a challenge. But for us, it is an opportunity because we work in certain way so that like whatever we make, we try to make it locally and then sell locally so that the cycle of using from production to the finished product used to the cycle, it completes in within 6 months time. Secondly, like the machinery also, which we have done, which is our own in-house things, we file again patents on that. So those machineries are specially made for making compostable pads, because the soft materials, which is like compostables, cannot be used in like the machines which are used by multinational, which are super fast, which can make maybe 500,000 pads in a day. But then like, so if you run our like compostable material that fast, though, it will tear apart and nothing will come out. So we have also made unique machines to make these pads and products, which also saves it apart. So it's like in a wholesome, it is about the innovations which we have kept us like ahead of the things. And also we had done those regulatory things, like we are the first company to get it certified as per global standard to be on this thing. So we got several awards, as you know, and then post that, Government of India invited me to be part of the Bureau of Indian Standard Advisory Committee for sanitary pad, where all those big multinationals are also present. So I had to fight with them a bit there. And our certificate, actually Government of India firstly they had to follow, and then they had come up with the first compostable standard for the world in sanitary pad sector. So which I have been, we have been a key player there to introduce that. And now it is, it has become public. So that standard has to be followed now, which is now happening. So these are the steps which we have taken from our end. And like, obviously our investors, our advisors, our board members and partners. So they are helping us to spread this word. And one thing like which we do advocacy program, like I think, and then reach out to people like you through your support so that we can tell the real story to the world. Because right now, if you go to, let's say, Amazon in India, there will be hundreds of companies who are claiming their products are biodegradable, compostable, organic, this and that. But none of them have any certification. They are all either import from China, or they're locally produced without any certification, but they are selling it at 3-4 times the price. And fooling people, and we have reached out to complain this to Amazon also, and they're looking into the matter, which is going to take longer time.
It reminds me, Jodeep, of ESG and impact investment. You know, many people claim they do impact investment, even though they don't, right? So I see that this happening also in your industry, kind of.
Yes, too many of them.
But Jodeep, didn't this multinationals approach you, or like, wouldn't it, for me, it would be logical for them to kind of cooperate with you, right? And to create huge impact around the world if they could transform completely to such production.
Yes, they some of them did reach out to us, and they have been reaching out to us, not from now, from 2013-14. But somehow we couldn't find a mutual understanding where we can work with them, because we had certain mission and vision in mind, which are still not aligned with them. So
makes sense.
I see. Yeah.
So let's go more on the finance and investment side. So right. How did you finance and manage the product research and production till now?
So it's there are some multiple funny stories. So like the very first unit we started, it was still my parents do not know the truth. They see this show, they will get to know that. So I didn't pay my final college fees of my MBA days, and that money went on for setting up the first pilot unit of Akar in northern part of India. Post that, again, I had to lie to my parents to go to Afghanistan. So I earned some money in a month, which was quite a big, and that funded for another year of my work. The one month I spent in Afghanistan, the consulting fees I earned from.
This is a passionate entrepreneur, no, with impact, finding the ways.
Post that, we were we struggled a bit, but then we got lucky to get some small grants. We got support from GAN Challenges Canada, from Millennium Alliance, and a few smaller funds and CSR support. And then we continued. And then obviously we are also commercially invested by investors. We are invested by one of the platform, Artha Impact, which is based in Switzerland only. And in India, we have several angel investors who have given us money. So it was a small amount, but then that helped us to initially start it off. And right now, again, we are looking for further investment to expand our work. First of all, in terms of adding more products and also the geographic view.
Mm-hmm. You know, among our viewers, we have a huge group of SMEs from emerging market who are looking for investment. So can you please share a bit in more detail, maybe, how did you get your business financed, the first seed investor, because usually it's the most difficult part. So how would you advise them to get it done?
And please don't tell them to get it from their college fees.
So no, I think at the very beginning, so the best way to start with the what we call the pools, the friends, family, and the other pools are where we can, or if you have made some savings out of that, I think nothing better than that, because getting invested at day one always is a challenge. So whatever way, maybe for initial 1 or 2 years, if you can make the very basic product out of your own money or from this kind of funds, so that's best. And then you can reach out. There are multiple incubators which are there across India and across the world now, which have come up in universities, in colleges, and by governments otherwise. And those incubators are very, very supportive in terms of giving you bucket of services which they can bring in into the table, and also reach out to, let's say, the angel investor, which is the first way to get some money as an angels who can support you and then take it to the next level, to that you are qualified to take investment from, let's say, larger venture capitalist or maybe HNIs at a larger level. So I feel I think this is the way. There are also I think loans which are given by governments, banks, which are there, but that depends on if your organization have the capacity to pay back with those certain interest rate, then only one can approach that. But then for SME, especially in India now, there are multiple bank loans, government loans are there, which are collateral free, which are available, especially for the industry which are into manufacturing.
That sounds great. Thanks a lot for these advices. I mean, there is no, magic. You need to kind
work
of
at
work
it.
At it, right?
Exactly. So I wanted to go on the next. That's the threats you have in as a business. So did COVID impact you in one way or other?
Yes, it did. It impacted us two ways. Like one, the good part was like, so because we have small units in the villages, and then during COVID time so multinationals couldn't reach out there, although they had very limited network, but then still their supply chain was completely shut. So they had no supplies. So all of those small units actually played a very large role in providing this sanitary pads to the women and girls in the villages where they didn't have any access to the product. So that was a good part which happened for a period of time. But post that, once they also ran out of the materials, then the challenges started coming out when we couldn't supply them of the raw materials. And many of the such units also had to either shut down or pause for a period of time. Some of them have been able to recover. Some of them are still in a way of recovering. So that was one thing. But then this is one part. But second part, which has created a bigger challenge, is the logistics. So then the materials, let's say if you are anything by ship, we are getting something. So that cost of those logistics has gone up by 3, 4, 5 times during the COVID time. Mm-hmm. And so that has created a several challenge for us in terms of material. Like giving a simple example, wood pulp, which is used in as a core material of sanitary pad. I said the primarily comes from US Canada. So it used to cost less than $1 before COVID, and now it is more than $2. So it is double. So similarly, other materials prices have also gone up. So which is obviously creating challenges, because we have kept our basic primary product, which we sell or distribute in the villages, this one, which is the Anand Eco Plus pads. We have kept the price point same for last 5 years, which is a big challenge, but then burning into our own margins and all. But we have continued our innovation so that we can reduce costs. But then keeping such things has become a challenge during COVID, yes. And then obviously, some of our colleagues gone through the COVID situation. The family members died, including my own grandfather died during this thing. So those are also the impact, which obviously we had to go through during this time.
And what do you think, any other issues coming in the future? So how do you see that?
Connecting to COVID?
No, at all. I mean, in general, any other issues you might be facing with your business?
No, so the good part is that people are now more pro to the impact, more pro to the environment, or post-COVID, another good thing happened is people have started thinking, yes, health is something which is important. They have to invest and give importance to your own health. Otherwise, COVID affected mostly to those people who have comorbidities. So that is good part that people are now started thinking they should start investing on this and buy products which are more environment friendly, health friendly, and all of that, and which can also create impact. So that way, I see a better future from now onwards rather than anything negative. But competition is always there. There is multinationals. Now they have started thinking earlier. They were not they have also have to work on sustainable products. So which they had started researching now. And I hope, I think they will also come up with their own products, which is very good part, because it is important that we reduce as much as possible this environment impact on products such as menstrual hygiene, which is used for a vast number of women and girls across. But I think the future should be good, and we are focusing on innovations from day one and continue to do that. So we would try to be ahead of the time to see our products and introduce more products into the sector.
But can you name them, your biggest competitors, which you see as a threat?
I would say
maybe they will become partner, because sometimes it happens in impact investing. Who knows?
Yes. No. So there are because we work in a multifaceted way. So there are, I think, different competitors in different segments. So obviously there are multinationals like Johnson and P&G. They work in a sector. So we are ants in front of them. But then, yes, they are one way competitors for us. When you go to the international market, and then India, we expand in large scale. There are also competitions companies which are Carmacy. There is Sati pads and many small startups which has come up in last 3 to 4 years who have not selling certified products, but then they are into the market and selling in Amazon kind of places. So, and let's say similarly in the US market, there is Korab, there is Organic, and there are many other brands which are there. And so those are competitors on the product level. We also sell machines. So although there is a large machines, China is obviously leading, so we are not there. But then in mid segment, there are multiple companies like which are selling those pads, but the focus is less on the machines for us. So that's not really we see as a threat. And the last part is the education program. So there, we don't see any competition as such. We look forward to partner with more and more organizations, like we have partnered with UNICEF, WASH United, WSCC, and many others international organizations, so that impact those education program can be expanded with partnerships.
But so to all of those whom you named, I want to send a little message. So please, you know, together we can achieve a better world. So please collaborate. And it's not only in your sector. It's happening in many sectors. It's a big multinationals and come and don't do the proper work or collaboration, then either it fails or they do it themselves, but not with the same impact. So let's keep the great work together.
Yesterday, I was in a conference, and there's a very famous Swiss gentleman, Bernard Picard. He said there has been nearly no expansion or no growth from the end of 19th century till 1970s or 80s, because it has only been about more and more and more. So we have only focused on quantity, not on quality. And he said the future growth is not on quantity, it will be on quality. That's the only way you can grow, to make products better and better instead of just mass production. And the multinationals, they're focused or based on mass production. Mm-hmm. So that's why they cannot in a serious way compete with you.
Yeah, but talking about business expansion, do you want to spread in other countries or to scale your business more, since you have been limiting production capacity till now? So what's your future plans look like?
Yeah, so no, we are absolutely, we are willing to expand, and we are expanding right in this process. Like we are already present in about 8 countries in Africa. But now with our new product lines, we are in process of expanding to the commercial markets, like in the US or Canada. Then like in European countries, like where we are sitting right now, Germany, like Switzerland, UK, right there. And then we have been some talks going on for countries like Australia, Singapore also. These are in process right now. And we're looking for more and more partners. For us, the very key or important part is that, like, because we have a certain mission and vision in place and also social impact. So we will only partner with organizations who are in the similar space or who have the same mind, be it an investor, be it a partner. We get several offers from across the world, but then we deny that because where we see there is no alignment to that. Obviously, that's how we have only grown organically, not exponentially, because we were there true to our ethics, true to our mission, vision, and also the impact matrices. So that is our strength and core. That's how we have been known for over more than a decade, which very few organizations in our sector actually has working over so long, except the multinationals. So yes, so keeping in that in mind, we are willing to partner with anyone and everyone across the world, whoever wants to co-op with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joydeep, you mentioned that you're looking only, I mean, I say only because it's not such a big amount if you look at many trillions that European Investment Bank is allocated. So you're looking for 3 to 5 millions, right? Is it an issue to find it with such a great history impact? Like how are you facing that? Is it still, even with your company who is having a product, having a backed a track record already, still an issue? Then we have a really wrong world.
So I don't know, like, so maybe like as I said, we are unlike many other small startups who have been just getting pads from, let's say, from China and rebranding and selling it and making it looking sexy and investing more money on marketing or in media. We never have done that. So whatever marketing has happened from us was organically, like, so media reaching out to us and talking about us and things, and like, and also as a core, like people who are working on menstrual hygiene sector globally, they know, be it a multinational companies there or maybe research organizations or like universities who are working in the sector. But I think like on the consumer side, like because we haven't expanded as such, like, so they are still like, we're getting known. But as a brand, Anandi in India, now it has becoming popular because we started selling in Amazon and all. So in terms of investments, so I think like maybe we haven't reached out enough, like that could be one reason. Secondly, like also we are, as I said, like we are looking for investors who are aligned to what we are doing. Mm-hmm, so there is anyone like out there who are listening today to this show. So I would love to talk to them and see like how we can work on, with their support and expand our thing to the world.
It's clear. This maybe one last thing from my side about franchise, because I'm sure someone who hears that maybe had already an idea like you do and want to bring it in their own country or region. Like, do you work with franchise or how would that work?
Yes. So right now we just started off that, like we have signed up with someone for US market. Similarly, mm-hmm. we are finishing off another discussion for Australian market, for Dubai and also for Singapore. Europe, where there have been some talks going on, but nothing has been finalized. So yes, we are absolutely willing to work with any franchisees as such, mm-hmm. and an exclusive or non-exclusive basis, depending on like the expansion and network they have. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm done. You can go ahead.
And we definitely need the diapers, so please speed up with it.
Yes. We have made prototypes, but then like, yes, we do. It's a commercial product. We just need some more time and we need some funds.
We are happy to give you a feedback. You know, we can use it. And, I mean, not me, but maybe.
So, and are you also thinking of using partners?
Yes, absolutely.
Because yeah. the people are watching from all over the world. Would you be reaching out to partners? And what kind of partners?
Yes, from the beginning of Akar, as I mentioned, I started with Professor Anil Gupta and Honeybee Networks. So that entire network is about partnership, because I believe in that and we believe in that as an organization also. Without partnership, we cannot grow. So in fact, till date, whatever we have achieved is also about partners, what we have, like be it in Germany, in US and Africa, in like in India and several parts of the world. So yes, we are absolutely there to partner with anyone. It could be in terms of research partnership. It could be in terms of like sales partnership, investment partnerships, strategic partnerships, whatever way, like we are absolutely looking forward to such any kind of such partnerships. But only line there is that they have to align to what we are, the mission, vision, ethics, what we follow. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Joydeep, as a tradition, we always ask our guests to also send a call to action in the world for whatever it is, you know, like how would you, or what would you say to our audience? Call to action to do something in their life, or maybe buy your sanitary pads, whatever it is. Feel free to send it out.
No, thank you for that. Like, so basically, like, I would say there is nothing like alternate to the hard work. So anyone thinks like this is a short way, that's maybe very for a short period of time also, it would not last. So hard work is something, there's no alternative to that. Secondly, I feel like I personally believe that ethics is very important, although I have seen in my experience over 10 years is that in business ethics have a very thin line. So people tend to go otherwise. So I would urge like whoever is starting up something or doing something, if they can follow ethics, it is going to be helpful in a longer run and also make a better society. Because I have seen a lot of this practice, unethical practices going on, where they claim something, the product is something else, and it is harming, mm-hmm. like this diaper only. So diaper rashes are happening for not today, mm-hmm. for many, many years. It is a known fact, but still not some much of work is being done and then not being penalized also. So I think like that, and then innovation is something which is always keep you ahead of the time. So I think research and innovation should be the key. And unfortunately, although there is less investment available for doing research and innovation work, except some government things. So I feel like investor also, like if they, when they give funding to anyone, so if they can also give funds for this research works, that's always helpful for the companies to grow, because that one, those patents, those innovative products is going to last more rather than the copycats who anyone can come anytime and then copy that and have a lot of money and grow. But then that's not going to create a lot of impacts or long-term journey for those companies. So yes.
So basically, in a nutshell, be innovative to create real impact and something else.
And be ethical.
Be ethical, exactly. Yes, be
innovative. And also look after your society. Look after people around you. So look after the impact is also important for, I believe on that. And, yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Joydeep.
Thank you, Joydeep, very, very much. We are running out of time now. So thank you for joining us. And as you're aware that as a thank you to our speaker, you or your organization will receive an honorary membership on the Chamomile platform.
Absolutely. Just register, let me know, and we will upgrade it to a higher level.
Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for your time.
Namaste to India. Thank you for joining us today.
And enjoy today's Ganesh Chakram. What? Chaturthi.
Yes, I'm going to go there downstairs right after this thing. Thank you for that.
Oh, congratulations. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Jadeep.
Bye, Jadeep.
All right. So, dear viewers, with this, our show for today is ending. And if you like our show, please subscribe below at our YouTube channel. And for those who are interested to learn more how to create impactful business, which is also profitable, keep an eye on chamomile.ch because in September, we are going to have a new course again.
So thank you for watching us.
Yes, and act for your future. Welcome to Season 3 of Swiss Impact with Banerjee. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben.
The topic of Season 3 is Impact Investing, the New Normal. Do you also want to do something meaningful for our planet and people or invest with impact?
Then our amazing and powerful guests who are business owners, heads of financial institutions, thought leaders, political leaders, policymakers, investors, and experts.
Greetings, my name is Ash Bachori and I'm the senior mentor of the POP or Protect Our Planet movement, and also a member of the board and secretary treasurer of the World Sustainable Development Forum. Our primary goal is to mobilize the 1.8 billion youth of the world to urgently address the issue of climate change and take action to protect our planet.
This will inspire you to get engaged.
And in this season, we will challenge them even more to take actions towards sustainable development goals, to enable paradigm shift in the financial sector and way of doing business.
Watch and learn how can we, as humans, transform into eco-financial system which would serve all people and the environment.
We aim for impact investment to become available to anyone, become truly mainstream.
See you every Friday at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Act for your future.